Source Books, and we're going to talk today about the scope of free will. Until now, we've seen the existence of free will, dealt with some of the challenges to free will, and we'll begin with the Rambam, Parakei Halacha Beis. The Rambam here, as well as in other sources, deals with four challenges or arguments denying free will. Just to note what they are, so we'll appreciate them as we see them in the Rambam. Number one, there were those that claimed that there can't be free will because fate or mazel determines a person's path, or astrological fatalism. Number two, there are those that argued that there can't be free will because God determines a person's path. This was actually an idea that was very prevalent among Kalam thinkers at the time of the Rambam. Number three, a person's nature determines their path, or psychological determinism. And finally, number four, there could be no freedom due to divine foreknowledge, which is what we saw the Rambam deal with a couple of shiurim ago. So the Rambam writes, as we saw, that there's absolutely nothing ein mi she'akev biyado milasos hatov vehara. As we noted, that means even HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself relinquishes that authority. And now turn to the text, Halacha Beis. Al yavor b'machshav techa davar zeh she'omrim tipshei umos ha'olam v'rov golmei b'nei Yisrael. You see that denial of free will was quite prevalent at the time of the Rambam. Perhaps now as well, though, for somewhat different reasons. Sha'kodesh Baruch Hu gozer al ha'adam etchilas v'yaso lios tzadik orasha. En adavar kein. El kol adam ra'ui lo lios tzadik kemoshe rabbeinu orasha kiravam. Everyone has in his ability to be as righteous as Moshe, or as wicked as Yeravam. Baruch Hashem, we just made a bris this Tuesday, and when we were thinking about the names, so that our son is named Moshe Chanoch, and when I was talking to my wife about it, and we are considering the name Moshe, she mentioned this Rambam. She said that the idea that everyone could be as great as Moshe, and that when you name your child Moshe, or any child, You hope, you anticipate, you daven that your child be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, like the Rambam says. Now, some wonder, one second, lo kam bi Yisrael kemoshe od. So that's not a question. When Rambam writes in the Yud Likari Amunah that nobody will be as great as Moshe, that's said with respect to prophecy. There will never be, Rambam writes, a prophet as great as Moshe. However, a tzaddik like Moshe, so the Rambam says everyone has it in his ability to be a tzaddik like Moshe, or a rasha like Yeravam. It's interesting that he picks Yeravam. There were many very wicked people, some seemingly even more wicked than Yeravam. Why didn't he pick Achav, for example? Perhaps Yeravam, through his bechira, changed the course of history, of Jewish history, and for the bad. And as such, this Yeravam epitomizes the cataclysmic result of misused freedom. Anyhow, the Rambam continues, and then he says something that's a very, very difficult to understand. We'll have to explain. O chacham o sachal. Either he could be intelligent or foolish. O Rahman, O Achzari, O Kili, O Shav, V'chein Shar Kol Hadeos. Note over here, we'll return to this point, that the Rambam highlights the freedom not with respect to actions, but with respect to Deos or Midos. V'ein mi she yikafehu v'lo gozer alav, v'lo mi she moshcho le'achad mishnei adrachim, Elohu me'atzmo umidato nota le'eze derech shiyirtza. Hu shiyirmiyahu amar, Mipi Elyon lo seitzei haraos vatov. From God, from on high, does not emanate good or bad, because it's in our hands to choose. Kolomar, ein abori gozer al adam lios tov, velo lios ra, v'kevan shekein, hu nimtza zeh, kevan shekein, hu nimtza zeh chote, hu hifsid es atzmo. Because it's in our choice to determine where we go, so therefore if we sin, we are responsible. Lefikach, and this the Rambam explains is the hemshech of those psukim from Echa, ra'ui lo livkos ulekonin al chata'av ve'al ma she'asah l'nafsho v'gmala ra'a hu shekasav acharav ma'is onin adam chai v'gomer v'chazav amar hol v'rishusenu b'yadenu u'mida'atenu asinu kol aros ra'i lanu lachzer b'tshuva v'la'azov rish'enu sh'arishus ata b'yadenu hu. Just as we were free to sin, so too we are free to repent. And that's why it says, "Hushikas of Acharav, Nachbis derachenu v'nachkora v'nashuva al Hashem." So Rambam's conclusion here seems to be a radical freedom. We could be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, as wicked as Yeravam. And while that's far-reaching, Rambam's application of freedom to things like righteousness and wickedness is already in the psukim, in the gemaras. Rambam's bigger chiddush is that he seems to apply freedom not just to moral decisions, or the narrow definition of Yerushalayim in the sense of Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz MiYerushalayim, but even with respect to things like intelligence and stupidity. And this raises a couple of questions. First of all, it doesn't seem to be correct. A person's intelligence, their cerebral abilities are largely affected by their genes, their environment. These are factors that are seemingly beyond a person's control. Moreover, as we saw briefly in the Gemara, and we'll see it again now, the Rambam seems to be against the Gemara. Take a look on page 26. This is a Gemara Nida, Data Zayin Amud Beis. Darish Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Oso Malach HaMemuna Al Herayon, Laila Shemal, V'no Tel Tipo Mamida Levnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'omer Lefana Ribono Shel Olam, Tipa Zu, Ma Tehe Aleha, Gibor O Chalash, Chacham O Tipesh, Ashiro Ani. The Tipa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, whether it's going to be Gibor O Chalash, Chacham O Tipesh, Ashiro Ani, V'ilu Rasha O Tzadik Lo Ke'amar, K'drabi Chanina, D'Rabi Chanina, Kol D'Yishamayim Chutz M'Yishamayim, Sh'ne'amar, V'ata Yisrael Ma'ashem Alokecha Sh'ol Me'imach Ki'im Liras Hashem. So the Gemara indicates that Chacham O Tipesh is not in a person's hands. That is determined from the moment of conception, whereas Tzadik O Rasha is within a person's hands. And this is seemingly in contradiction with what the Rambam writes, when the Rambam writes, even with respect to intelligence, a person is free. Now, the truth is, though, even within the Rambam, when you look at some other sources in the Rambam certainly acknowledges that a person has certain predilections with respect to their talents, their intelligence, whether it's genetic factors or environmental factors. Even the Rambam is not claiming a person is a tabula rasa, as would perhaps seem at first glance from what he says in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam certainly acknowledges and stresses that nature and nurture play a very large function in a person's development and who they become and the choices that they make. Take a look at Shmona Prakim, the next source. Amnam ani yodea shehamuskam alav mitorasenu u'mifilosofe yavan shepeulos ha'adam kulon mesuros lo ein machriach oso bahen velo mevi oso Shiateu litzad mala o chisaron chutz mihu atzmo. So the Greeks agree, and the Torah states that a person's actions are in their control, and he's the person. The person is the one who makes the choices. Ela shetialo achana hachanas hamzagim levad shiakel alav inyan o yachbad. However, there are certain predilections that are relevant, so that some people might find something easier and some people might find something harder. You might have some persons that get angry easily and others who are naturally more calm. Some people are better at math and other people it takes them much more difficult to learn math or piano or whatever it is. So you'll say, what about math and piano? Okay, Lexi, the truth is what we saw so far doesn't apply to that. But he says that there are some people that have, it's easier, it's harder. So the Rambam isn't saying that everybody has an equal playing field in a sense. But ultimately, a person's decisions, behavior, the Rambam says, are entirely in his control. Read on a little bit. Yefshar shivaleid ha'adam b'teva bal ma'ala o bal chisaron. A person is not born with either virtue or vice. Kimosh yefshar shivaleid b'teva bal malacha me'am lachot. Just like you're not born being skilled in a particular art or talent. Again, but some people find things easier, others will find them harder. Some people might be musically gifted. It'll be very easy for them to learn an instrument. Others, more difficult. And the Rambam says the same thing is true with respect to midos. Kigon shia etzem mocho zach v'yakel alav l'lmod, aval im yunach b'mazgo zeh mibli l'lamed v'lo yo'orer kochosav yisha'er b'li safek sachal. So a person may be born with a certain raw intelligence, but if he doesn't actualize that intelligence, he'll remain a fool. All his potential will be worthless. Person might be born with musical talent, but if never exposed to musical instruments, he'll never learn how to play. And likewise, with respect to intelligence. So here we have the Rambam telling us quite clearly that a person has certain inclinations, but ultimately freedom is in their hands. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos likewise emphasize that a person's character is shaped by their nature and their nurture. You have this in the next, skip the Mar Nevuchim to Hilchos Deos Vav Aleph. I'm just going to start reading from a little bit earlier from where you have it. Deos harbe yesh l'chol achad v'achad mibnei adam v'zu mishunem izu. So every person has certain character traits. Yesh adam shu bal chema koes tamid, v'yesh adam shedaato miyushaves alav v'eino koes klal, v'im yichas kaas me'at b'kama shanim, v'yesh adam shuhu gava lev bioser, v'yesh shu shafel ruach bioser, etc., etc. The Rambam here goes through many midos and presents that people naturally tend towards the extremes, interestingly enough. In other words, Rabbi Tursky once pointed this out, that if you look at the Rambam writes naturally, people will tend towards one extreme or the other. And the avoda is to be able to find the derech hamemutza. And then he writes that there is a middle path between each and every midah. V'chol ha-deos yesh mehen deos shehen la'adam mitchilas b'riyaso lefi teva gufo. So the Rambam here writes quite clearly, when it comes to deos, even though we saw before the Rambam unequivocally stated that we are free with respect to deos, he writes that yesh la'adam mitchilas b'riyaso lefi teva gufo, naturally, genetically, whatever it is, a person has certain deos. Yesh man deos shetivo shel adam zeh mechuvan v'asid l'kabel osam b'mehera yos mishar deos. There are some that you're not born with, but perhaps you're predisposed towards. V'yesh man she'ena einan l'adam mitchilas b'yaso el alamed osam me'achirim. There are some that are picked up by one's environment. Oh, shenifna lehameatzma, or he chose them freely. Lefi machshava she'alsa b'libo. Oh, sheshama shezu hadas hadeya tovalo, etc., etc. So the Rambam quite clearly again tells us that a person is born with certain natural predilections with respect to deos, and nevertheless, it's within his power to ultimately choose. So let's state the question again. I think there's two. We'll say it like this. I think there's two ways, two mahalchim in the Rambam that we could suggest. The first mahalich is actually what I originally thought, and that is that a person, like the passage we just saw in Shmona Prakim, of course a person has certain predilections, certain predispositions, whether it's due to their nature, due to their nurture, but ultimately a person has total and absolute freedom. And those that a predisposition doesn't in any way limit their choices. And the Rambam just tells you at the same time that because of those predispositions, you have to work particularly hard. This is especially true with respect to deos. The Rav had a famous ha'ara, it's printed in Ala Tshuva, about the order of the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva. So very perplexing, because at the beginning the Rambam talks about Tshuva for the first four chapters, and then, as we've noted, chapters 5 and 6, the Rambam discusses Bechira Chafshis, and then again in Parag Zion, he returns to Tshuva. So what's going on? He should either put Tshuva at the beginning and free will afterwards, or perhaps free will at the beginning, it's a Hakdama to Tshuva, and then Tshuva afterwards. But why does the Rambam interrupt his discussion of Tshuva with a discussion of Bechira, and then return to it afterwards? So the Rav's Mahalich, I'm sort of oversimplifying, he develops it with many rayos, but is that if you take a look carefully, the Rambam discusses Tshuva with respect to Deos in Parag Zion. And his point is as follows. Intuitively, we feel free with respect to actions. So Tshuva on Averos doesn't need the Hakdama of Bechira Chafshis. So Prakim, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, talk about Tshuva on Averos. Then, before he talks about Tshuva on Deos, the Rambam has to introduce the concept of free will and the fact that free will extends and even includes Deos. Because that's something that's very easy to deny. While intuitively we do feel free with respect to our actions, I think we don't always feel free with respect to things like Deos, character traits, personalities, weaknesses of that sort. And therefore, the Rambam in Parakeh and Vav stresses that we are free even with respect to Deos. And then in Parag Zion discusses Tshuva with respect to Deos. So the Rambam's Mahalich basically is that, yes, we have these predilections, these predispositions, but ultimately we're totally free with respect to all things. Chacham o sachal, even. Now, if you take that approach, how do you deal with the Gemara? As we noted, the Gemara says against the Rambam. So you'd have to say that there's a difference between what the Gemara is talking about when it refers to Chacham o Tipesh and what the Rambam refers to when it says Chacham o Sachal. Chacham o Tipesh in the Gemara refers to perhaps something that's innate in a person, maybe the predisposition towards intelligence, whereas the Rambam is talking about that which is actualized, the Hagos Maimonios, makes a chiluk. For example, you have it again here on page 26. Ulay yesh chiluk bein sacha latipesh. The Gemara says that we're born with the Malach HaMemuna decides if we're a tipesh or not. Whereas the Rambam says it's in our ability to not be a sachal. A sachal means to act foolishly. It's not referring to intelligence or the like. So that's the first mahalich. But ultimately, according to this mahalich, again, a person is totally free with respect to all things. Now, I think, let me just say the kashas on this and the other mahalich, and then there are sources within the Rambam that perhaps point against this mahalich, especially a number of comments in the Mor Nevuchim. One of them is from Chelek Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph. You have over here, right below the paragraph of Shmona Prakim. Da, ki l'seichel ha'anoshi ha'sagos b'kolcho v'tivoshi yasigeim. So first the Rambam writes that with respect to the human intellect, there are certain things that a human can understand. There are certain things which a human cannot understand. Uvemetzius nimtzaos minyanim ein betivoshi yasigeim b'shumpanim v'lo b'siba aval sharei ha'sagasam ne'ulim b'fanav. Uvemetzius dvarim yasig mehem inyan v'yisakel inyanim. Bein b'yoso masig mischayev shiyasig kol davar kemo shelechushim hasagos v'lo yasigeim al eze merchak fine, etc. Let's skip a little bit. V'chein, to where it's underlined, v'chein hadin be'atzmo v'hasagos hasichlios ha'anoshios yesh yisron l'ishe hamin zeh al zeh behem yisron rav. With respect to the intellectual faculties of a person, there's a considerable difference between one person and another. The gamze kain mivuar nigla meod levalei achachma ad sheinyan echad yotziuhu ish miyuno beatzmo v'ish acher lo yuchal lavin hainyan ha'uli olam. For example, with respect to certain types of things, one person might figure it out on his own, and another person will not be able to understand it forever. Not only will he not independently discover it, but even if he has a tutor who teaches it to him 101 times, he simply lacks the ability to understand this type of idea. Fa'afilu limdu lo b'chol lashon u'b'chol mashal u'b'zman aroch lo yagia sichlo elav bishum panim ach tiktzar yad sichlo lehavin. He simply does not have the brain power to understand it, to understand this idea. In other words, the Rambam here is telling us it's not true that everybody has the same ability to understand things. It just for some people it will be easier and some people it will be harder. No, that's not true. Certain things or types of things will never be understood by certain types of people. And the Rambam seems quite clear that that they can't go beyond those intellectual boundaries. They're not endowed intellectually to the same degree. And this might be the distinction that the Hagos Maimonio says between a sachal and tipesh. Sachal meaning in the hands of man, and tipesh meaning in the hands of God. In other words, when the Gemara says that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about a person at the point of conception that they'll be a tipesh, it's what the Rambam is referring to over here. It means that they won't be able to understand certain types of ideas no matter what. Now, what's important to keep in mind is that this is true even with respect l'chora to Talmud Torah and the like. So while the Rambam tells us that a person could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not necessarily true that a person can master Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu. because certain concepts in Torah might be limited due to a person's raw or innate intellectual abilities. I don't think he's just talking about philosophy here. You're saying he's just talking about philosophy? No, I don't think so. I think there's certain types that doesn't mean he won't be able to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Talmud Torah. But it sounds like to me saying that there's certain things of ideas, concepts that this person might never be able to understand. Likewise, the Rambam in Chelek Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, this was from Lamed Aleph, and Lamed Aleph, the Rambam writes that people are born, I didn't include this here, I'm sorry, people are born with a natural disposition, a complexion of temperament with which perfection is in no way compatible. The Hebrew from Ibn Tibbon is Yesh anashim rabim shemiteva leidasam yesh lam nitiyam mizgit asher ein ima shum efsharus l'shleimus. Shum efsharus l'shleimus. With respect to certain temperaments or the like, shleimus is impossible for them. Just like he said, with respect to intellectual abilities. So, at first glance, this does seem to contradict what he writes in Hilchos Tshuva. Hilchos Tshuva, Shmona Prakim, we saw he says that a person's natural predilections don't in any way inhibit their ability to achieve perfection. And here, in Mar Nevuchim, he seems to be saying, no, their intellectual limitations, or even with respect to other forms of perfection, forms of temperament, that inherently prevent perfection. So how do we answer that? So I think the answer is that when the Rambam writes that we could be as great as Moshe, we could be a tzaddik like Moshe, it means we could be a tzaddik like Moshe. A person could be a tzaddik like Moshe. Everybody unequivocally could be a tzaddik like Moshe. That doesn't mean that you'll be a Talmid Chacham like Moshe. Perhaps a person will, born with a certain type of memory, will never be able to know Shas Baal Peh. And it doesn't mean that all forms of perfection will be available to them. But in what way will they be like Moshe? They'll be a tzaddik like Moshe. With respect to Yerushalayim, they'll be like Moshe. With respect to fulfilling their potential, they could be like Moshe. Moshe was someone who filled all of his potential. And anyone who does that is a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Rambam didn't mean to say that you could be a Talmud Chacham like Moshe. And then, if we understand what he's saying that way, then I think there is not necessarily a contradiction between what he says in Mar Nevuchim and what he says in Mishneh Torah and Shmoneh Prakim. I'll take your questions now. Just one other minor I don't want to get into it now. There is another passage in the Rambam, it's Mar Nevuchim, this is from Chelek Beis Perek Mem Ches, that people quote to claim that the Rambam didn't really believe in free will, because in that paragraph he talks about how everything is determined by God. It would be very strange if he's outright contradicting himself and adopting the position that he says that the Golmei Avodah Zarah and the foolish Jews hold of. What the Rambam means over there, and again, this requires more elaboration. Maybe when we talk about Hashkacha, we could get to that. I don't know when I'm planning to do all these topics. But the Rambam there could be saying everything is attributed back to God in a direct sense, or he could mean to say that everything goes back to God in the sense that he's the ultimate cause of all actions. Meaning, say, even our Bechira goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We only have Bechira because he grants us Bechira. And the like. You know, Lamashal, when Shimi ben Gera curses David HaMelech, so David says, Ki Hashem Amar lo kalel es David. Or when the brothers, Yosef says to the brothers,
ki lemechya shelachani, that the whole action was done so that I'll be able to support you and Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim. So there's more to talk about there, but he doesn't mean to say that the brothers didn't have bechira chashis, and David HaMelech wasn't saying that Shimi didn't have free will either. Shimi, the brothers had free will, but Yosef recognizes that what happened to him comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that might be along similar lines what the Rambam's referring to. So again, I don't want to get into that. But there is a lot of discussion on that passage in the Rambam and what exactly it means. Okay, yeah.
I was wondering regarding the Chacham Tipesh point. So Rambam definitely does have like a lot of sources. For example, all sacred Mishlei indicates that people have a chair to choose between Chachma and foolishness.
Right.
So it probably is talking about something that's beyond intellectual capabilities. And
absolutely. Peaceful.
Okay.
Right, exactly. In other words, with whatever intellectual abilities a person has been endowed with, he could live life intelligently. He could have brilliant people who live life foolishly as well. So clearly what the Rambam means, again, that's what that Gos Maimonios is pointing out. Even though the Gemara uses the word Chacham and the Rambam uses the word Chacham, but the word Chacham can have two implications. It could refer to innate or raw intelligence, which is in potential, and it could refer to actualized intelligence. And the Rambam and the Gemara are talking about two different things. Yes?
Is it really possible to reach a certain level of tzidkus without having an ability to reach a certain intellectual?
So, yes and no. I think what we see over here is the Rambam says unequivocally yes. With respect to tzidkus, a person can reach Tzidkus ke Moshe Rabbeinu, even if he lacks the intellectual kalim that Moshe had. Does that mean that there will be certain things that are unavailable to them? Yes, also. This gets into a general question, which we discussed more in the first semester, and I don't want to get into it now, but the Rambam's conception of intellectual achievements with respect to Olam Haba, and Kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the like, it is possible that certain spiritual achievements are dependent upon intellectual achievements, and therefore certain madregos of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kirvat HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be lacking to that person. But with respect to tzidkus, so the Rambam says that they could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, good. So, one, I guess, more Musar Ha'ara that emerges from this Rambam, and then I want to take it one step further. It's important to recognize that because, like the Rambam says, despite what the Rambam writes in the beginning of Parakei of Hilchos Tshuva, that we have the freedom to be like Moshe Rabbeinu and the like, but the Rambam also acknowledges the extent to which environment plays a very important role. And the fact that the Rambam plays up a person's bechira to such a degree doesn't mean that he in any way fails to recognize the extent to which environmental factors play in a person. Take a look at, again, Hilchos Deos Perek Vav, you have it over here. Derech b'yaso shel adam lios nimshach b'deosav uv'masav achareyav v'chaverav v'noheg b'minhag anshei amedinaso. So it's natural for a person to be influenced both with respect to deos and with respect to maisim by his friends, by his neighbors, his associates, and to generally speaking behave in a manner that's similar to those around him. And that's why the Rambam writes over here about the importance of clinging to the righteous and withdrawing from the wicked. Lefikach tzarch adam leschaber letzadikim, veleishaveis el tzadikim, and likewise the reverse. And the Rambam goes so far in the next paragraph to say that if a person finds themselves in bad company, So better that they withdraw from society and live in a cave in the desert than hang around those negative, harmful influences. Meaning to say that while the Rambam does clearly and unequivocally write that a person has tremendous bechira, but a person shouldn't say, well, since I'm such a Baal Bechira, it doesn't really matter who I hang out with because I could be whoever I want to be. No, a person has to acknowledge the extent to which environment and other factors play a role in their in the choices that they're going to make. Okay. Now, I'd like to take a look and consider this matter a little further, not just in the Rambam, but the extent to which we really are free. Take a look at the bottom source on page 26, Gemara and Shabbos. Haiman de Bimadim, a person born under Mars, which is red and associated with blood. So Yehe Gavar Ashidama, he's either going to be a murderer. Amravashi O Umna, Iumna, Iganva, Itabcha, Imala. So he might be a bloodletter, or a thief, or a shochet, or a moel. So now is not the time to get into exactly what mazel means. But what the Gemara is telling us is that people are born with powerful and perhaps insurmountable predilections. And these inclinations can be channeled in a positive way. For example, the attraction to blood could be used to make a person a shochet or a moel or a doctor, or they could be channeled in a negative way, like to become a shofech damim. And what the Gemara indicates is that our avoda is to channel these predilections in a positive way. Perhaps not so much about overcoming them, but rather directing them or channeling them positively. Take a look, page 27. The Meiri, towards the bottom of the page, from the Gemara and Shabbos, which is about mazel. So the Meiri basically tells us that a person is born with a particular nature, and their freedom is realized in their ability to overcome that nature. But the point is that we are born with the nature. That's what mazel's referring to. I guess I'll read it more from the end. It's late. Mipnei Shashem nasan biyadu bechira lehachriya teva toldaso v'gidrei hadas yeshivuhu mitivo limshol be'atzmo levilti leches acharei ikvos toldosav. So again, the idea of bechira is not that a person doesn't have a chair. He's born with certain traits. The question is, can he challenge them? The Tashbetz goes even further. If you take a look, this is on 28. We'll come back to that, Reb Tzadok, the Tashbetz, top of 28. The Tashbetz writes, refers to this, these natural predilections almost as a gzeira, right? Afal pi sha'adim b'chiri levatel es ha'gzeira em yisnaheg al pi sichlo, aval em yisnaheg lefi tivo ha'gzeira hi miskayemes. Meaning to say, you're born almost with a gzeira. A gzeira that you're going to be a certain type of person. A person has the koach to live al pi sichlo, and thereby be mevatel that gzeira. But it's almost like a gzeira. Meaning to say, if we live naturally, if we don't live thoughtfully, so we will follow a certain path and a certain trajectory. The notion of Bechira, they're telling us, does not mean that nature and nurture don't play a huge role. A person could live their whole lives al pitivo, he says. The chiddush of Bechira is that you have ability to live al pisichlo as well. But in a sense, it's almost not even the default. The Malbim writes in Iov on the pasuk Kipol Adam Yishalem Lo Uva Orech Ish Yamtzi Enu. Uva Orech Ish Yamtzi Enu, the Malbim writes, refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when judging us. He takes into account our nature and judges us differently based off of who we are. The Mari Yaivitz, the Chassid Yaivitz in the source below, notes that this is true and even says towards the end of that quote, Rov HaNashim Nisharim Al Tiva. In other words, most people don't live their life thoughtfully. They live their life naturally. The path, the trajectory that they take in life is largely determined by their genes, by their environment, by their parents' choices, and the like. So the idea of Bechira is fully compatible with the notion that nature, nurture, are exceedingly powerful forces and influences within a person. And not only that, but it might very well be the case that naturally, if we don't overcome that nature, our whole life will more or less not truly be lived in a free way. We have the Bechira to have Bechira. But Bechira isn't automatic. The Shem Yishmuel might that that's sort of what flipped with the consumption of the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara. Originally, a person wasn't Adam and Chava weren't naturally free, but they had the freedom to choose to be free. Now it's the reverse. Well, not even the reverse. In a sense, it's also true, but differently, because we too have the freedom to be free, but we're not naturally free or fully free. And once we acknowledge this, I think it's a relatively small step to add a very important point. This point is made by a number of thinkers. We'll see it first in the Ramchal over here, from Der Chachma, again on page 28. V'hine tireh shiyesh bepeulos ha'adam muchrachos uvechirios. Kiyesh ma shetivo machricho, o kibutzo hamedini, v'yesh hatluyos legamri bevchiraso. There are certain actions that a person is free about, and there are others that are not. Shetiva shetivo machricho. It's not just that we have this natural predilection that can be overcome if we work on it. But the truth is, with respect to many of a person's decisions, so they're not totally free. You know, we talk about a person being chayv in mitzvos at their bar mitzvah. So, if you're born into a family that, isn't observant, or you've never been taught Torah or the like, so it's hard to say that really you're totally free with respect to Shmiras HaMitzvos all of a sudden at the age of 13. Is it fully within a person's capacity to just, reject their whole upbringing? And that's true with respect to traits and all sorts of things. So your nature, your nurture, your environment, all these things, says the Ramchal, might actually mean that many of the decisions, choices that a person makes in life are not truly free. However, this does not in any way undermine meaningful free will, because everybody is free with respect to some things. And that's exactly what the Ramchal writes here. And of course, it's with respect to the things that a person is free that he's held accountable, that he's judged. Rav Dessler was the one who developed this idea most extensively. He called it the Nekudas HaBechira, the idea that we're free with respect to certain choices. There's certain matters, certain issues that we struggle with, and many other things while perhaps we have technical freedom, we have the physical ability to make these choices, we don't actually consider these options. We don't struggle with them. It's not we're not meaningfully free in these respects. Most people will not hopefully struggle with murder. So while technically speaking, I might have the freedom to go around and kill a lot of people randomly, it's not something that most people struggle with. That's true with respect to choices of rishus, and it's also true with respect to choices of tzidkus. There are certain mitzvos, or midos, or madregos, that a person, it doesn't even dawn on them to consider. So our freedom is realized in the nekudas habechira, in the place where we struggle. Again, like we saw in the Rambam. The Rambam writes there are certain types of perfections that are inherently impossible for a person. But our freedom is realized in that nekudas habechira. Now, I'm not saying that the Rambam and Rav Dessler are saying the exact same thing. I do think that there's probably differences. But they're not as different as one might think at first glance. First glance, you read the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, you read Rav Dessler in Michtav Neliyahu, and you think that they're talking about totally different perspectives on freedom. But as we've seen from the Rambam, it's not so simple. And I think as we've seen also from a number of the earlier sources, what Rav Dessler says really emerges from that. Now, Rav Dessler adds a number of points here. It's very kedai to read his presentations in this respect. But among other things, he points out that a person's nekudas habechira changes throughout their lives based off of the decisions that they make. So, to give a relatively benign example from that we mentioned before, you know, right now, I might struggle with coming on time to Shacharis. Do I go ahead when my alarm goes off and press snooze, sleep for 5 more minutes, come 5 minutes late, or do I pop out of bed when my alarm goes off and allows me to come on time for Shacharis? I'm not actually really considering being like the Hasidim HaRishonim, coming an hour early. I'm not really actively like considering sleeping till noon and just skipping Shacharis. Maybe davening two minchas. No, neither of those two options are really on my radar, though conceivably I have that power. But where's my nekudas habechira? Where am I struggling with? Do I come on time or not? If I go ahead and I work really hard, and every day for many weeks I get up on time, I don't press snooze, that might even become second nature. It's going to start happening without my struggling about it. It's going to start happening without my thinking about it. Now maybe my new nekuda will be, do I come 5 minutes early? So I have my talis and tefillin on before they daven, so I won't be able to say psukei dezimra slowly. Or do I just come right when they start? And if I go the other way, if I hit snooze for 3 weeks in a row, I might not even be actively considering coming on time. You know, the question is only going to be, how late am I going to be? So he compares this to the battle lines of demarcation that shift based off of the fighting. Or I think a lot of more contemporary people like to compare it to a line of scrimmage. And ultimately, a person is judged, if we take the analogy of the line of scrimmage, not by where they end up, but how far they traveled from where they started. So if a person is born on the 10-yard line and he ends up on the 20-yard line of the opposite field, so he's gone much further than a person who's born on the 60-yard line and makes it to the 95-yard line. It's true this latter person is much closer to the end zone. He might have learned more daf, he might have done more mitzvos, but a person is judged not by what they achieve in terms of objective standards, but really how far they've come and to what extent they've moved their nekudas habechira. Okay, are there some questions? Yeah.
going back to the Yairus and the Kashrus, you almost need to be saying, the Gemara in Shabbos, for example, said, you know, you're born in Mars, you may have certain, but it gives an equal playing field. You could become a Shoechet, you could become a murderer. You're almost saying that it's a negative, you're almost born with a Gezerah, which is a negative upon you, and you have to fight it. If someone's going the other way, then you're born with a...
I don't think Gezerah is negative. It's both, I think, most people, it's both negative and positive. There are going to be certain qualities that a person naturally is positive qualities that a person is naturally predisposed to, and they'll do naturally, and they're negative qualities. So I don't think, you know, with respect to what our focus is in terms of Avodas Hashem, so you might have to think more about those negative qualities. But fundamentally, it's true with respect to good things and bad things. And the truth is, when one is working on developing themselves, it's just as important to know about your strengths as it is to be aware of your weaknesses. If you struggle too much, if you focus too much on those, you could become depressed and give up. So I think they're stressing different things. Now, it is a very interesting thing to point out, I think, which you might be alluding to in that Gemara and Shabbos, which is, does that Gemara and Shabbos indicate, you know, in the Taj Beitz and the Meiri and the like, we saw that they all stress that a person can use their Seichel to overcome their Teva. What about that Gemara and Shabbos? Does that Gemara and Shabbos say that you could only use your Seichel to channel your Teva, but you cannot overcome it? Or perhaps you can even overcome it? In other words, is the person born with the predisposition to blood going to either become one of, you know, automatically going to end up in a blood profession? Or no, maybe they'll end up somewhere else. There's a famous comment on the Gra and Mishlei on the Pasuk, Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko, Agam Ki Yazkin Lo Yasur Mimena. And the Gra writes that's the Avodah and Chinuch. The Avodah and Chinuch is Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko, to see the Derech of the child and to help them achieve Shlemus within their Derech, and not to try to change their nature, but to help them with the natural inclinations that they have to become a good person. So if they have that inclination towards blood, it's to help them become a doctor or a moel or a shochet. But it's not to turn them into a poet or the like. And the Gra says that's what the end of the pasuk, Gam ki azkin lo yasur mimena. If you try to change their nature, so eventually that might work in the short term. You might be able to push them into a profession or a track or the like, but eventually they'll bounce back. But if Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko, so then Gam ki azkin lo yasur mimena, will last with him his whole life. At the same time, you do find many, I don't know if it's a stira, you do find many of the Bale Musar stress that a person can change their nature. It might be very hard. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is famous for saying that changing a Midah is much harder than even mastering all of Shas, but it's possible. Again, I don't think it's a stira, and there's certainly a difference between a negative midah, which you should never accept, though it might be very hard to change, and something that could be equally used negatively and positively, where the avodah might be to direct it, to channel it more positively. I will point out a fascinating idea, and I guess with this we'll close, from Reb Tzadok, which you have again in the going back in the previous page. On page 27, Reb Tzadok writes that there are certain aspects of our nature that we lack the ability to change, but at the same time, he says we could also daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he changed them. He writes, that's the pshat in the pasuk, Lev Tahor Birali Elokim. David HaMelech David HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to create within him a Lev Tahor. So he notes the term bara always refers to Yesh Me'ayin. David HaMelech is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to help him do better with what he is, but to give him a lev tahor. Bria yesh me'ayin. A person's nature at times might be unchangeable, but he writes, and he beautifully develops, that a person could turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for assistance in changing that nature. And you'll see, certain people have remarkable transformations in their lives. You see them at one stage in your life, and you meet them 10 years later, and they're a different person. And what Reb Tzadok is saying is that there's a lot of hard work there that goes into that, but there's also a lot of siyata d'shmaya, and a person has to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and can daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to ask for a lev tahor. He writes it's a certain part of tshuva. There's a famous discussion between Klal Yisrael and Yechezkel about a certain aspect of tshuva which cannot be understood. Klal Yisrael says, Lo yitachein derech Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you can. So, again, that's the nekuda that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them. Just take a look at Pasuk Lamed Aleph over there, you have below, right? Hashlichu me'aleichem es kol pish'eichem asher pish'atem bam v'asu lachem lev chadash v'ruach chadasha. That part of tshuva is turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and davening for a lev chadash. And in that sense, with siyata d'shmaya and with tefillah, a person might have within them a koach of bechira that they don't even naturally have on their own. If you ask the psychologist or the like, you know, is this within their nekudas ha-bechira? The answer is no. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give them the strength, can give them a lev chadash, can give them a ruach chadasha, and such that they're capable of transforming themselves in ways that they could not have even imagined. So we should all be zocha to actualize this tremendous, tremendous gift of bechira. That's what life's all about. Have a good Shabbos. We'll pick up next week.